Welcome to Nuanced Judaism, coming to you from OU Torah.
I'm Simi.
And I am Rivka. Okay, Simi, this one's for you. You mentioned that you were thinking about the nine days, so the period of mourning that we're in right now, leading up to Tisha B'Av, and Holocaust denial. And you were thinking of a connection between the two. Now, they're both not fun things, and they're both disturbing things, but what's the connection? And why did you think of it? What was the inspiration for it?
Right, so you're right, it's slightly bizarre. I mean, it's not funny bizarre, obviously, but so the inspiration for it was actually another podcast by our colleague, Rabbi Aubrey Hirsch.
Oh, from the Jaily.
Right, so he has a podcast called History for the Curious, where one of his series to do with the 9 days was on Holocaust denial. Now, I don't want to...
Holocaust or Holocaust denial?
Holocaust, I mean, everything he talks about is, well, not everything, but he's very much focused on the Holocaust, at least at the moment in this series, to do with the 9 days. But one of the ideas was denial of the Holocaust. Now, I was thinking to myself, like, that is a bizarre connection. I mean, as you said, you can think of some arbitrary connections, but I want to take it in perhaps a different direction he does. But I think there's an interesting and profound idea that really relates the two. I want to approach it in a overarching sense, focusing on patterns.
Like a psychological underpinning?
Exactly, exactly. So the approach that I want to perhaps suggest is, what is Holocaust denial at its root? It's denying an event that happened in history. What if I wanted to sort of paint something onto that, I would say that's a retreat from responsibility.
Why responsibility? What would the alternative be?
Is owning, it's not the Germans that are denying the Holocaust, it's anti-Semites who are denying the Holocaust. And there's a certain weight of responsibility on humanity that such a thing was allowed to happen. There is an element of, if I own this, I mean, also why I think Holocaust denial will become more popular as time goes on, because it's terrifying to think that we as a people, as humanity, allowed such a thing to go on without any sort of protest, without, of course there were individuals, but we allowed such a thing to be a sort of a tarnish on the human psyche, on the human experience. To deny it is going to become more trendy because...
Can I just add something there? These things, the Holocaust wasn't the first, and it won't be the last genocide that unfortunately happens in the world. But I think the reason why Holocaust denial has become a thing is because people looked at the Germans or Western society as cultured, moral, ethical, and in a way we still do. So Holocaust denial is taking that blemish away.
So you're saying because the Germans were sort of the most progressive society, you don't want to have a situation where progressivism led to devastation. It's better that progressivism existed, and to label that society as being responsible for Holocaust is sort of a reflection on our nature and our progressive
mode. It's what we look up to. When you've anyway distanced yourself from a society, then saying they've done horrific things is one thing. But when you've not distanced yourself from a society, when you're pro-progression and pro-Western culture, then it's much more tempting to say the Holocaust never happened.
Interesting. So I'm not actually taking it from that point of view, which is a genuine point.
Just a backtrack. You were saying it's easy because it's letting go of responsibility.
No, but I want to give credence to your points. You're saying that you're talking about the motivation for... We're both talking about motivations but behind Holocaust denial. And you're saying one aspect of it is because it reflects badly on our nature of the progressive world we're in at the moment. The progressive world we're in at the moment is tarnished by what the most progressive society in history was capable of. And that is like a dark mirror to look at. My point is more that the responsibility, the burden, the yoke that is given to someone, if they recognize that their ancestry or the history of the human race allowed such a thing to happen, is terrifying. In which case, I could be responsible for such a thing as well in the future because they were like me. In which case, there is a responsibility on me to prevent, to stand against, to...
Ah, so you're saying that the responsibility is to learn from it and not do it again. And when you deny it, you kind of ignore the lessons it may have had for you, that you are also capable of such depravity and put in
similar circumstances,
exactly.
So I think the nature of responsibility I want to draw on here, and the reason why I think it's connected to the 9 days, is because there's first of all something very ironic. in terms of the parallel about the Jewish bearing of responsibility for anti-Semitism.
What?
So I know this sounds really bizarre, but with a sort of a hodgepodge of different commentators and Chazal, you can put together a really radical approach to responsibility for the Jewish people in terms of how we look at ourselves as being responsible for anti-Semitism.
For example?
For example, the different forms of anti-Semitism that emerge. You have the sort of the Christian anti-Semitism, you have the Islamic anti-Semitism, you have the Amaleki anti-Semitism. And just to touch upon some of the different commentators and the rabbis, specifically the Ramban, looks at Sarah's treatment of Yishmael, of Hagar, as being something that was wrong. And there is an element of responsibility we bear for the way our ancestors treated what they call the progenitor of the world of Islam.
Well, isn't that a bit blaming the victim?
Oh, for sure. There's a very fine line between blaming the victim and bearing a certain amount of responsibility for the world you've created.
It's a little bit like that whole concept of radical responsibility, that you let go of what was not in your locus of control, but you bear ultimate responsibility for anything that you can do about it and anything that you can react towards it.
Right. So I think this perhaps is the way the Jewish tradition gives voice to that idea. So if you take the world of Amalek, there's another way Chazal give us sort of responsibility for that sort of arch enemy of the Jewish people. There's the story of Timnah, which is the sort of the wife of Esav, who wanted to, they give the story about how she wanted to convert, but Avram didn't take her in. And then she married Esav, and Esav's grandson is Amalek.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And we're looked at as Avram should have taken her in. You can then plan it out, sort of paint it out further. Even Christianity, in the Talmud, Yeshu is described as being a Talmud of Rabbi Yeshua. And he was, without going into the details, he was in an inn. He made a comment that may have been misunderstood, and his Rebbe didn't accept him back. And at the last point when he was going to accept him back, he was like saying Shema or something, and he took it as a mode or a gesture of refusal. And the story goes on. They say this man went on and did terrible things. And just those three areas, and I just find the irony really interesting, because the 9 days is about us accepting responsibility. We talk about sinas chinam, and we talk about growth, we talk about fasting as a mode of developing and bringing to mind these areas of responsibility, about focusing on the self, focusing on the stuff we want, and different messages are going to be really important. But Holocaust denial, just bringing that back in, is the retreat from responsibility. In the very area where the Jewish people, almost with no reason to need to take responsibility, we sort of step in there and say, we share in this.
Not to say that it was our fault, but yes, to say that we are taking responsibility for whatever was our part. Because also from a spiritual perspective, the Eicha is replete with the fact that we sinned and thereby we deserved this.
So, once again, you get that thread of responsibility. At the same time, responsibility not only how you look at how the future plans out, there's an aspect of responsibility, but in terms of the present, how you relate to the notion of what you are responsible for motivates you to grow. I'm saying that is a theme that you see emerge both in the 9 days and in the world of Holocaust denial. Holocaust denial is a retreat from responsibility. The 9 days is an embrace of responsibility. And the irony is that the very area that anti-Semites, like the very thing they are trying to retreat from, is the very thing we are trying to motivate today.
And to embrace in a way, even though it's difficult. So to recap, responsibility, whether or not you started it or it was your fault, that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about the cause and effect. Somebody could be from Scandinavia and be a Holocaust denier, and they never started the Holocaust, and their grandparents never started the Holocaust. However, by denying it, you're taking away, in a way, the opportunity to look at it and be like, what caused that, and how can I become a better person, a more moral person because of it? Whether or not it's to the Jews, it could be to my neighbor. And this, in the same vein, in the 9 days, what we're doing is we could say it wasn't us. First of all, it was the Romans. Second of all, what does that have anything to do with us? And whatever, chill with it. It's the summer. But what we are saying is we want to embrace that responsibility because of what there is for us there. There's opportunity for us there.
The type of person who looks at an event that looks at an event and says, you know, in some way I bear a certain amount of responsibility for this. That is the type of person who grows in life. That's the type of person who is able to change. And that idea that, I think the right word is ironic, is the area the anti-Semite is pushing against, the Jewish tradition stands not only in stark contrast to that, but this is the time of year where we are working on that idea of responsibility and growth.
Very cool. Very cool. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be taking a short summer break for 2 to 3 weeks, and we will see you afterwards.
When we get back.
We'll see you when we get back.
And just a plug, the name of the podcast that I got this sort of motivation from is called History for the Curious. Really, like, really top stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a solid educator. I mean, nice guy, but he's a solid educator.
And a proper historian.
And a proper historian. It's not like a, I was going to say, it's like not like the stamp, he's a rubber.
He didn't look up some stuff from Wikipedia. He's really gone to the places and done the research. And I was fortunate enough to sit in on a lecture of his for about the Cairo Geniza, and it felt like I was in a walking, talking documentary. It was fascinating.
On that note, have a wonderful summer.
Have a wonderful summer.